I want you to make your way in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. You know, 8 weeks ago, we began this new journey as a church. And it was really based on and built around this strategy called 20 Points of Light, which is, really incredible. It's been a great inspiration for us. But you know, as I thought about as we shared that on February 1st, that there were probably a lot of reactions to that when I started talking about the 20 points of light and all of our possibilities of being involved in it. But some of those were probably shared with others. And you might have had your own unique reaction, but I think a lot of them were shared. For example, I hope there was excitement. I hope that we get excited about sharing the gospel of Jesus. And when we start talking about impacting the world with the good news of the gospel of Jesus right here from McDonough, right here from Eagles Landing, man, you get fired up, you get excited about carrying the gospel to the world. But that's not the only feeling that I think we felt and probably reaction that you had. I thought probably there's a sense of contentment. In other words, there were probably people that were in the congregation that day, and maybe even now as you see 20 points of light and hear about it, you just kind of get in this comfortable place and you're content where you are. You found your spot. You found your niche in the life of the church. You found your favorite seat, favorite angle to the auditorium. You found your favorite life group. You've got your little system going, and you're just content. Okay, I'm just content where I am. Great, we're doing 20 points of light. I'm excited about that. But right now, for me, I'm just content. I'm happy right here. And sometimes that leads to the next one, and that is assignment. And that is you start thinking, man, I love this. This is great. I'm glad we're doing all this. Glad we got all these partners. Hope Pastor Tim has a great time doing that, and the staff and all these people that are going here, man, that's great. But you just start making assignments. In other words, don't count on me, but I'm glad there are people that are going to do that. And then the last one is one where we all want to get to. In fact, I want all of us to be at, and it's the place of involvement. Involvement. Because we are the church, not just when we meet together and study God's word. We are the church when we break and go out into the world. I mean, we are the church then. When you're all by yourself out here in the world, living as a light in the world, in the midst of a very, very dark place, you are the church. And we need to get involved in sharing and caring enough to take the gospel to the world. And so I started asking myself a question. What is it going to take for us to get there? I mean, what is it going to take for us to get through the excitement, get past the contentment, avoid any measure of assignment, and actually get to involvement? And I said, you know what? We're going to have to be CrossFit Christians. We're going to have to be CrossFit Christians. That term is a term I actually borrowed from an exercise program. I'm with a group of guys in the mornings down in the weight room, and every morning we meet, and we do this thing called CrossFit. And 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I started that. And, you know, the first day I went, the next day I could barely walk because I was so sore. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but I mean, it was stretching me in ways and places that I hadn't been stretched in a long, long time. And I thought, you know, after a month, I'll get over that, and that'll be great because then I can settle into this routine. Well, the thing about CrossFit is every day it does something different. It works a different part of your body in a different way. So now 2 years later, when I go to CrossFit in the morning at 7 o'clock, next morning when I get up at 6 o'clock, I'm still sore. I'm just 2 years later. I'm thinking, when is this going to end? And people have told me, that's not going to end. You're going to be sore the rest of your life. And you know what? It would be easy to quit. In fact, I was telling somebody earlier, I said, you know what? When I turned 40, somebody told me, if you ever wake up in the morning and nothing's sore, you're dead. Yeah? So I realized I'm going to be sore anyway because I'm just old. But I thought, you know what, there's two ways I can look at this. I can bail out right now, okay? I can just say, you know what, I really don't want to be a sore the rest of my life every day. Or I can just stay with it because I know this is going to keep me healthier longer. And you know what, that's the choice I made. And you know what, I hope that we will be CrossFit Christians. Now, you say, well, what does that mean? What does that really look like? Well, you know what, the four words that we talked about on February 1st were the first thing that came to mind. Love, live, give, and go. If you're going to be a CrossFit Christian, those things have to mark you, have to mark you as a believer. In other words, love. You love God and love people based on the Great Commandment. I mean, you are passionately in love with God, and you love people like God loves people. If you're going to be a CrossFit Christian, if you're going to get out of your comfort zone, if you're going to really touch the world with the gospel of Jesus, you've got to have the eyes of Jesus for the world. I mean, that's what's got to happen. The second thing is live. You live in community with other believers. If you're a believer, a CrossFit Christian, you're going to live in community with other believers. That happens in the church. Happens right here. And you're going to be committed to exhortation and encouragement in the ministry to the body. You're going to share with life with believers, and you're going to encourage others to be all they can be for Jesus and be encouraged. You're going to love others and be loved. I mean, that's going to happen in your life. And then there's giving. And you realize that, you know what, as a believer, as a CrossFit Christian, we don't own anything. We're a steward of everything. And so we're a steward of God's word, his truth. We're a steward of the time that God gives us. We're a steward of the talents that he gives us. We're a steward of the treasure that he gives us. We are stewards. And so as a CrossFit Christian, I'm committed to giving, giving all that back to God, because all of it really belongs to him. And then the last thing is going. And this is really the big word, the word go. And as a CrossFit Christian, as a believer, I'm going to take the Great Commission personally. When Jesus said in Matthew 28, go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, share the good news of the gospel, I'm going to take that personally. As a believer, I am going to be every day on mission for God. And I realize every day of my life, whatever I'm doing, wherever I am on mission. I don't take a break. Christianity is not lived out in its entirety on Sunday morning when you're serving in a children's ministry, or you're serving in a life group, or you're serving in life at the church, or you're helping out in the parking lot, or you're one of the greeters, or you're one of the deacons. I mean, that's not living out the Great Commission. The Great Commission is lived out every single day as we intentionally share our faith. And that's really what 20 Points of Light is all about. It's about being intentional and purposeful about sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus with the world. In other words, it's not an accident. We're not just kind of walking around waiting for an opportunity that may present itself. We understand the commission, and out of obedience to our Lord and Savior, and out of a desire to be what we're created to be, we're going to go out into the world with a great passion to impact the world with the good news of the gospel of Jesus. I mean, that's our intention. And so that's the first thing that came to mind. Second thing that came to mind was Matthew 16. It's where Jesus gave this great, clear, powerful description of what I think it means to be a CrossFit Christian. I want you to look down in verse 24, and let's just read this, and we'll walk through this text together. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come down with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Man, I read that and I thought, you know, this is the picture. This is a picture of what it means to be a CrossFit Christian. And there are a lot of things we could talk about in these verses, but let me just give you three little pictures from this passage. One is this. I think Jesus is saying that a CrossFit Christian is unmistakably marked by self-denial. He starts off, if anyone would come after me, anyone's going to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, let him deny himself. You know, why does he say that? Because we're pretty much selfish people, aren't we? When we wake up, naturally, we want to take care of ourselves. It's kind of like this. When you're walking with Jesus, you're walking, man, it's a deep life. When you're living for Jesus, it's a deep life. It's like walking in the depths where life really is, where it really exists. And what I find a lot of times in me is that the selfish things in me and the things in this world keep dragging me back to the surface. You ever found that? You know, you're living for Jesus, man, you're deep. You're living where life really is, where it really happens. Doesn't mean that you're, you know, talking so deep nobody understands you. I'm talking about you're just living where life really matters. But because we're selfish, you know what? I just keep dragging myself back to the top. I keep living for those things that don't really matter, those surface things that really just pass away in this life. They don't have long-term meaning. They don't impact eternity. But for some reason, staying down there, living where it really matters is so hard because we're just so selfish. What he says, you know what, if you're going to be a CrossFit believer, one of those things that's really going to hurt and cause a lot of pain, and every morning you're going to wake up and you're going to go, man, I'm sore again. Why? Because we're selfish. We have got to deny self. If we're going to be CrossFit Christians, one of the things that must mark us is this process of every day dying to self. It's the only way you're going to get there. Now, when I started thinking about that, I said, you know what, that really impacts us as believers, because all of us find our little comfort place in this world, even in the Christian world, don't we? This is my place to serve. This is my place to go. This is what I do. These are my gifts. And we just hide in that little cocoon. That's not what Jesus calls us to. Jesus didn't call us to our place. He calls us to his life. And that involves self-sacrifice. Second thing he mentions, a CrossFit Christian is willing to sacrifice himself for the priority of serving Christ. This is a great metaphor. He says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I mean, whatever it means to take up his cross certainly means self-sacrifice. It means we're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to give up something. In fact, if you turn back to Matthew chapter 10, just turn back there with me. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 38. Don't you read this with me. Turn your pages really loudly so I can hear them going. Good. Sounds like some of you are going the wrong way. We're going to Matthew 10. All right. Look down at verse 38. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me, listen to how strong these words are, is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Did you hear that? Those are the words of Jesus. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And this isn't an option, is it? This isn't an option for believers to say, you know what, I'm going to make sacrifices in my life because the priority is the mission of the cross. So whatever that means, whatever that looks like, man, I am willing to do it because of the priority of the cross. And let me just challenge you, because I think we settle down way too soon. We really do. And I'm not really trying to harp on this, but I just want you to get this point. This commission, to be involved in the Great Commission, is not for the people beside you. It's for you. All right? It's for you. Even if you're serving, it's for you. We get settled down. We get our little place of service, our little place of ministry. Man, this is where my talents fit, and this is where I fit. And man, I really like this. This is not about us liking it. This is about the gospel. This is about the priority of the gospel, even if it means self-sacrifice on our part so that the gospel can be shared. And then he gives us a third insight. Down in verse 25 through 27, I want you to read this, but I want to make the statement first so that you can read it with this in mind. A CrossFit Christian, his life is built and invested on the existence of life beyond the grave. Listen to how much these three verses has caught up in what's yet to come. Look in verse 25. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Did you hear that? That's all consumed with what's yet to come. Now, why is that so hard for us? I'll tell you why. Because the whole world is caught up in this life. You listen to secular radio, secular television, even as a conservative, listen to Fox News. It's still all caught up with this life. The riches, the glories, the winning, the losing, the passions, the purpose. It's all about this life. It's all about what happens here. But if you're going to be a CrossFit Christian, if you're going to get out of your comfort zone, if you're going to be willing to sacrifice, if you're going to deny self and actually make a difference in this world for the cause of Christ, guess what? Your life has got to be consumed with what is yet to come. The life that's coming. That's what Jesus is saying. You got to be consumed with something that you don't yet see. It's a life of faith. Now, there's some reasons that he gives us this life is so important. And they're in those three verses. They all start with the word for, F-O-R. The first reason is this. He said, you know what? You need to do this because if you save your life, you'll lose it. In other words, if you're selfish, if you're self-centered, you just live in your little bubble, you know what? You're going to lose your life. But if you lose your life for his sake, you're going to save it. Second reason he says is for it's no benefit to gain everything in this world and yet lose or forfeit eternal life in heaven. I mean, you can chase after and gain everything that this world has to offer. You can taste everything that this world gives and lose it all. And then last he says, at the very end, verse 27, he says, for Jesus is coming again as judge. And he'll reward those who take up his cross. The reward is yet to come. But it's coming. Because Jesus is coming again. Now, my challenge to us today is this. You know, we have a big day like February 1st. We talk about 20 points of light and we celebrate Super Bowl Sunday. You know, just talk about what God might do this year. And we get all excited and all fired up. And a few days go by, a couple of weeks go by. And we say, man, I hope they're on track with this. Hope they're sharing their faith and hope people are getting saved. And it's great to see people get baptized and all that good stuff. I mean, I can't wait till next February where we can celebrate. And what I got this image of, I've got this image of a parade. And there are a few people in the parade. I mean, some of them are playing their instruments, some of them are serving, some of them are giving, some of them are, they're in the parade, they're doing something. And the rest of the church is on the curb applauding while everybody else marches by. The problem is, in most churches, everybody's on the curb and nobody's in the parade. When the reverse should be true. We're all in the parade. But for us to get there, we've got to be cross-fit Christians. We're going to have to be willing to be sore every day. Because it hurts to deny self. It hurts to make personal sacrifices for the priority of the gospel. It stretches us big time to live this life only in view of the next. But that's what it takes. So let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready to be a CrossFit Christian? Are you really to make an impact for the kingdom? Let me just put it this way. Just think about this for a second. Since this is all about the next life. Think about how old you are. 47. Let's think about 50 years from now. 50 years from now. It's not very long, okay? Based on how quickly the last 47 went, 50 years is not that long, all right? Where do you think I'm going to be? Where do you think I'm going to be 50 years from now on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock? I mean, if I'm alive, I'll still be preaching, you know. Some of you won't be here. I may not either. Now, let me ask you a question. What's going to matter at that point? What's really going to matter? To you, to me. You see, what I want us to get is, I don't want us to get there. See, all that heaven has to offer and all the blessing of eternal life in Jesus and say, you know what, man, I really, really wasted the opportunity I had. I want us to live for Jesus. So this is what I want you to do. Look in your bulletin. There's a card in there. It's an insert. I want you to start filling it out right now. Every single person in the room filling it out. You say, it's the first time I've been here. It's okay. Fill it out. Just fill it out. Just write your name down. Your birth date, if you don't want to put the year, that's okay. Just write those things down. And then down below that, there are four little boxes. And each one of them is a challenge to be a CrossFit Christian. One of them says, you know what, I want to let my light shine by joining a GO team. If you want to be on one of these short-term teams impacting the world with the gospel, I mean, maybe it's on one of the international teams, to Ecuador, Honduras, Lebanon, Nicaragua, or Panama. I mean, we've got the dates, we've got the cards, we've got all the information right out there in the lobby for you. Maybe it's one of the North American trips, the Appalachia or Baltimore. We talked to Ryan Palmer this morning at 9:30. He's pastor of 7th Metro Church in downtown Baltimore, kind of revitalizing a church that has died right in the middle of the city. Maybe you want to be a part of that. San Diego, Native American Ministries. In fact, we got a lot of people that are leaving next week, going to South Dakota. And I called it the frozen wet tundra, you know. I don't know if you've been watching the news, but a lot of snow, a lot of cold, a lot of wind. Some of your tents may be kites, you know, 80 mile an hour winds. But you know what, you're going to share the gospel. How many of you are going? Why don't y'all stand up if you're going to South Dakota? Why don't you stand up? Fantastic. Perimeter Road Baptist Church down in Valdosta, 1027 Church, downtown Atlanta, inner city ministry, fantastic. The church at Griffin and we've got some other churches we're partnering with as well. You see our local partners as well. Rustin's Hope Worldwide Ministries is here, the Hispanic church that we're working with, Phil Cavone. I think he and Jamie are here today as well. I mean, they're out there in the lobby. We want to talk to you about partnering, getting involved. So if you want to get involved in one of these Go teams, or you want to, number two, connect with one of the local points of light outreach opportunities, I want to get involved. I'm on the front line. I'm interested in joining a leadership team. If you want to lead and really develop a relationship with some people in these different places and lead teams to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus, check that. And then here's the one I want all of us to check, all right? We should all be able to do this. Listen, this is 63 cents a day, all right? So if you'll go to Sam's and buy your Cokes instead of buying them out of the machine because you're too lazy to go to Sam's and buy them out, by the crate, if you just buy them at Sam's, you can save the money and do this, all right? $20 a month to 20 points of light, okay? It's every person. We want at least 500 people, families signing up that I'm going to be a part of giving $20 a month to 20 points of light. And what that will do, that will help us fuel and fund these short-term projects to all of these places that we're taking the gospel, okay? Now, here's the point. We all need to get engaged because the world needs Jesus. And you have him. You know him. Don't you? You know Jesus? Does he live in you? If he lives in you, no matter how sore it makes you, you ought to be willing to impact the world with his love. Now, I want to show you a quick little video. It's from a guy who is a performer. He is an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. But somebody took an opportunity to witness to him. He didn't come to Christ. But listen to his perspective, the perspective from the other side. Watch this.
I want to talk to you about this. I get home from the show. And at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position after I was all done. Big guy, probably about my age. Big guy. And he had been the guy who has picks the joke during our psychic comedian section of the show. So we had the props from that in his hand because we give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, it's not worth explaining. But he had props from the show that we'd given him from the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. He said nice stuff. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing. And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane, I'm not crazy. And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive. And he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me and then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on. And then like five phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave you that book. That's all I wanted to say.
How much do you have to hate people not to tell them that there's a heaven and a hell? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Now, he didn't believe anything we believe. He thinks this whole thing is a big lie. But there's a profound statement buried in the middle of his thought, isn't it? How much do you have to hate people not to tell them about Jesus? It might hurt to be a CrossFit Christian, but it's the kind of Christian the world needs to see. Love, live, give, go. I'm for Jesus. Now, when you fill out this card, I want you just to take it and pass it down to the end of the row, and I want you to just set those on the floor right there because we're going to take these up. We want to help you engage. So just go ahead and pass them down. If you filled it out, go ahead and pass them down. Then I want to give us an opportunity to respond to what God's doing in us today. You know, you may be here today, and you may be, maybe you're not like him. Maybe you're not an atheist, but you're still on the outside looking in and you're wondering what this God thing's all about and what this Jesus thing's all about, and God's really working in your heart. And even right now, you can sense that God's at work in your life, drawing you to himself. Man, we want to tell you about Jesus. Not because we're perfect or right, but because it's true. And salvation is for you. And in just a minute, we have our invitation. Our pastors will be right here at the front. I just want you to come down, take one of them by the hand, and just say, you know what? I want to know Jesus. Tell me about this thing with Jesus. And we're just going to take you aside to this room right over here, open up the Bible, God's book, and say, this is what the Bible says about knowing Jesus. And we know there is a God. And we know there is a heaven and a hell. And we know the provision of Jesus on the cross is sufficient for your salvation so that heaven can be yours. And we want to share that with you. Maybe you're here today and you've lived your whole life in a cocoon and you've never stepped out of your comfort zone, even as a believer, and God's really all over you right now, and you just need to come to the altar and say, you know what? I'm going to be a CrossFit Christian. But in this invitation, let's not let our obedience wait so that our excitement turns to contentment or assignment. But let's skip those two and go from excitement to involvement and live for Jesus.